New Mexico is, as advertised, a land of enchantment, but it is also the home of the atom bomb. And it is this dichotomy that writer Bradford Morrow explores in his new novel, Ariel's Crossing. Morrow's fascination with the dualities inherent in New Mexico, magic versus science, the beauty and openness of the land versus the secretive nature of Los Alamos, where the bomb was developed, underpin his story of a lifelong friendship between two men, Kip Calder and Bryce McCarthy. The sons of two of the scientists who helped create the bomb, their struggle against that heritage takes different forms and they grow apart. Ariel's Crossing begins when the daughter Bryce has raised as his own learns that it is Kip who is her real father. Morrow says he first saw the lights of Los Alamos on the same day that he visited the Mission of Chimayo, where pilgrims gather to touch mud that is believed to be miraculous. The juxtaposition of the two experiences, says Morrow, inspired the story of Kip and Bryce.
The going to Chimayo and the recognition of Los Alamos, the thinking of the sacred versus the secular, a valley, you know, where miraculous cures are, the little church, you know, people go there, 35,000 of them a year, to get sacred dirt from this little pocito, it's called. And the thought that 30 miles away, the atom bomb was invented, started the idea moving. Here was a dichotomy, you know, based in northern New Mexico. And it really, Kip and Bryce were born, I think, of that dichotomy.
And in this book and your earlier novel, Trinity Fields, as you mentioned, you explore the lives of two men, Kip and Bryce. What is it that you really wanted to explore through their lives about our history?
It started with World War II. Of course, they were born on the same day in 1944. But I really wanted to explore, in fact, the Vietnam War, because that was the war of my generation and of their generation. And the two of them really grew up together down in the canyons, playing around, doing things that sequestered kids who grew up in Los Alamos could do. And one of them, Kip, went to Vietnam and ultimately into Laos and became a member of the covert war there, whereas Bryce became an anti-war activist. And their lives diverged. And I wanted to explore the differences that those of us who had been born together, the fabric of American society kind of came apart in the 60s, of course. And I wanted to explore how that would work, tying in the atom bomb with Vietnam. And there is a real connection for me.
There's a lot about ghosts in this book, and there's the idea in this book that ghosts are real, and there seems to be the idea that these events, these true historical events which you write about, are also ghosts which are haunting these characters.
We are the sum of choices we make in a life, and our destiny is, of course, created by those choices we make, but they're also created by people who, you know, lived before us. My investigation of Vietnam and even our current situation, our current global crisis, really eventuates from that big discovery, which ended World War II but began something new. So there's a kind of spiritual fission that occurs in these books, and that's what interests me the most.
Of course, the story at the center of this novel, Ariel's Crossing, is the story of Kip's daughter, Ariel, and her search for him. She never knew him. But Kip very much informs everything going on in this novel, and there's a passage about him that I'd like you to read. It's on page 203 in my edition, and it comes at the end of a conversation he's been having about the making of the bomb, and it begins, "Kip sat at a kind of weird attention."
Kip sat at a kind of weird attention. Hands spread on thighs, spine erect. Whenever the bomb came up in conversation or in the news, Kip's thoughts usually torqued in different directions, either ricocheting away or mothing to the flame. Born during Christmas season, he might as well have been born on Christmas Island, or Yucca Flat, or Bikini. The bomb had stalked him for half a century, ruined his father's life, poisoned the lives of so many people he encountered over the years. Here was Delfino now, another casualty category altogether. He asked Kip whether being the son of one of the physicists who invented the gadget haunted him. "My whole life," he says.
And that idea that it stalked him, the idea that Kip ran, his reaction to Vietnam, his reaction to the making of the bomb, he spent his life running from it.
Some of us are runners and some of us aren't. And Kip is interesting to me because he wants so much to find a home in this world. And he runs from it at all times and at all costs. And Bryce, alter ego, as it were, they really constitute one person, one full person, the two of them together. One's a runner and one isn't. And it's Ariel who finally brings the two of them together, this daughter that they share.
They are both the fathers of Ariel. One raised her, the other.
Right.
The other is the biological father.
Right.
And so in Ariel, is this the sort of the resolution of all of these events that have been haunting them, that he's been running from? I mean, what does she represent?
She represents the search for unity between these two extremes, the anti-war activist versus the warrior, the runner versus the stayer, the kind of extremes of how we think, what we can be, what we can do in life. And she is a person who can bring everything together for both her fathers. In a way, at the end of Ariel's Crossing, where all the ghosts in the book, and this, it's a ghost-laden book, there's no question about it, all the ghosts are rising up out of the earth as a mist or something. And we realize that she's told us her own story, having never known that before. She has a kind of a nuclear gravity to her, a spiritual gravity that brings everything together.
There are also allusions to Shakespeare here with her name. She's named after the sprite in The Tempest. And,
oh, yes.
And that's another story that brings together, balances out magic and science. And
I think Oppenheimer's, was a great scholar and so forth. And I think his favorite play was The Tempest by Shakespeare. And he equated Los Alamos with Prospero's island, and the magic the Prospero dealt in was similar to the secular magic of the invention of the atomic bomb. And indeed, I've buried all kinds of references to The Tempest in both books, because I do kind of equate The Tempest to Los Alamos and the whole notion of sequestration, exile, magic, and a sense of finding good out of evil with the play and in my books.
Writer Bradford Morrow, his new novel is Ariel's Crossing.